This is Alicia, and welcome to the College Life Podcast. I am super passionate about education, personal development, growth, and bringing out the best in every college student. This podcast will help motivate you, empower you, and bring you clarity and confidence in who you are, in your purpose, and help you take action toward a life you love. Don't wait until you graduate to live your best life. Let's start now. What's up, and welcome to the College Life Podcast. It's Alicia here, and today I interviewed Kemi. She is obsessed with self-love in all the good ways, and she's going to challenge you today. And I can't wait for you to hear her story, her journey, and why self-love is so important to her, and really how she came to really start accepting herself for who she is and knowing what she's worth. It's such a cool conversation, and you're going to get a lot of value out of it. So get excited. I've got a couple things that I want to share with you at the end of the episode. So make sure that you listen all the way through, and let's go ahead and get started. Welcome to the College Life Podcast. It's Alicia here. And today I have with me Kemi from Self Love Manor on Instagram. If you haven't followed her, you are going to want to by the end of this conversation, because she's amazing. And I've actually been following her for, I want to say, like almost a year, maybe. And I just have gotten so much value from what she's putting out in the world, and it's just been resonating with me a ton. So I'm super excited to have her on. So Kemi, why don't you tell us just what you're working on right now?
I'm working right now on my graduate degree. I'm enrolled at Full Sail University, and I'm going here for a master's in digital marketing. And I'm also working on a self-love coaching program that I work with clients on, and that has just been what I'm working on right now.
Yeah, that's awesome. I can't wait to hear more about it. So everybody that I have on this podcast, I try to learn more about their own college journeys. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your progress to, like, how did you get into college? What was that process like for you?
When I first, like, that wasn't an option. Like, it was kind of like, you finish high school, you go to college, and I just didn't have a choice. It was kind of like, my parents were like, okay, well, that's the next step for you. And I was like, well, okay. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And so for me, it was just a matter of picking what I thought would make me the most money. Mm-hmm. And then I went with accounting, and that's what I entered grad school with my accounting degree. And then I think it may have been like sophomore year of college, and I switched my major so many times that even on graduation day, people were still asking me, like, so finally, what did you graduate in? Like, I went from accounting to finance to marketing to management to real estate, and eventually I just made it general business. And the way my school's program worked, it ended up not hurting me too much because it fell all under, like, the business administration umbrella. It was just, like, whatever specialization you picked affected, like, the classes you took the last 2 years. So when I did all my changes, it really only hurt me, like, the last semester of school. So eventually I made up my mind to do general business, and I graduated with a business administration degree. And up until like my last year of undergrad, I was like, I'm not going to grad school. Like, once I get this degree, this is over. I'm done. I don't want to do any more schooling. But I really wanted to learn more about digital marketing, and I started to look into it. And then at first I was like, I don't need to go to school for this. I'll just like look up seminars and things to take. But I found Full Sail's program online, and it was only 1 year. And I loved the way they broke down the program and everything. And I was like, you know what? This may not be such a horrible idea. And so I went for it for my grad degree.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
So you said that business was attractive to you in general because of money. Was there anything else attracting you to that?
At first, no. It ended up working out because once I figured out what I wanted to do, which is be a multiple business owner, it kind of worked out that I was already doing business administration, you know? But yeah, the main thing that I went in at first when I started was I need something that's going to make money because I don't really know what I want to do. And eventually, once I figured out, okay, I think I want to own businesses and turn the things that I'm passionate into businesses, that's when I was like, okay, thank God this is the track that I originally started with. So let's just, yeah, go with that.
Awesome. And what was it like applying to graduate school?
It wasn't, because originally I didn't want to do it. So it wasn't like I had been scoping out schools. And because of how, like, I didn't really want to go to grad school, I looked for a school that didn't have too many, like, requirements. Because, you know, they have some of the schools, they want you to take certain exams, like entrance exams. I didn't want to have to do that. I didn't want, I don't know. I just wanted the process to be as simple as possible. So I called a few schools that I was interested in, and based on like what their approval process was like, that was a big factor in me choosing the school, and also like the type of classes they had, because in digital marketing, it was important for me, like, what am I going to learn, you know? And I want to make sure that I'm going to get something out of this, you know? And so far, like, I always say to anybody who's applying to school, like, make sure it's something that you want, because my classes now feel like a personal development activity that I would do on my free time. And it's just mind blowing to me, because I've never had that experience with school before, where I'm actually learning something that I'm interested in, and that I find stimulating, and that I'm interested in, that I can even say, you know what, I can see myself taking this and applying it to a coaching program that I will be doing, like the stuff that I'm learning. And that's really like mind blowing to me.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's such, like, that's where alignment's happening, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're like, oh my gosh, like my goals, and then this is going to help me reach my goal. It's amazing. And we don't see that very often in undergrad, I feel like.
Yeah. No, so. We don't. I feel like I only started seeing that the last year of undergrad, which is when the idea of grad school didn't become so bad, because it was like, oh, I can go to a place where I'm learning things that are relevant to what I actually want to do, you know?
Yeah. And I currently work at a college, and I actually think that's going to have to change, because I don't think people are like, people want what the grad school experience in an undergrad setting, because we want a more specialized things that we're actually wanting to learn and interested in. And
yeah,
so it'll be interesting to see, to see the future of higher education in the next few years. But
And I also think maybe it's because a lot of us, when we start undergrad, we don't know what we want. And so they almost want us to take those general ed classes to figure it out, right? But it's like, I don't think that the general ed classes that I took helped me really explore the fields, if that makes sense. You know, like, I feel like if maybe we can take those general ed classes to help us figure it out, but also have them be like graduate experience, in the sense of like, it really makes you experience that field, you know, so that you can really see if this is something for you or not.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely not the content. It's how we're teaching the content.
Yeah.
That's sure. Great. I love that. So let's go ahead and dive into what we're here to talk about today, which is all about self-love.
Yay.
And this is a topic that I know that it's been so challenging for me to get to a place of self-love, and just to be okay with who I am is so hard. So what do we mean when we talk about self-love? How do you describe that to people?
The first thing that I always say when I start talking about self-love to people is that it looks different on each one of us, and it means different things to each one of us. Like, for me, and I never really grasped that until I started coaching, because for me, self-love has always been about accepting myself for who I am, loving me just as I am, not letting other people's opinion affect who I see myself as, you know? And then when I would ask other people who were also on their self-love journeys what it meant to them, the variety of responses that I got really helped me see that what works for me on my journey is not going to be beneficial to that person, because what self-love means to them is completely different than what it means to me. Like, my best friend, her main thing is always peace of mind. So with her, her self-love journey is really surrounded around self-care, but like her mental self-care, like making sure that she's at peace, that she doesn't have anxiety, you know? So her self-love methods and techniques are completely different than usually the ones that I would do for myself, you know? So I always say, first figure out what it means to you and like how, like, why is it important to you? And then from there, you can figure out what your self-love journey will look like.
So would the first step for a student who's listening to this to kind of think about whenever they hear self-love, what does that mean to them?
Yes. What's the first thing that comes to mind? What's the, when you think of, if you're in a place right now where you feel like you don't love yourself fully, or how you would like, what would loving yourself fully look like for you? Like, once you're at a place where you're like, wow, I feel like I really do love myself, what does that look like? What are you doing that you're not doing now? Like, really visualize that so that you can see what are the steps that you're going to need to take to get there.
I love that.
Yeah.
So why is self-love important to you?
Oh, man. I think, like, I can talk about self-love all day. You can tell. But it wasn't even something that I used to think about. It really started for me when I moved away to college. And I think it was because, you know, growing up in your hometown, being surrounded by your family and your friends, you're used to not really having to figure out who you are, because you are in an environment where that's kind of fed to you, if that makes sense. And then moving away to college somewhere where I didn't know anybody, I was by myself, it was kind of like the first time I had to face myself, if that makes sense. And
definitely,
like, that was when I realized I don't know myself. Like, who I am is in reference to who I'm told that I am. And I just take it, whether it's true or not, I just take it as truth, you know? And that's when my journey really began. And it took a minute to see progress and growth, and it took some discomfort for sure. Like, now looking back at where I was and where I am now, and I see that transformation, it's amazing and baffling to me, because I'm like, wow, all of this happened, all these changes happened in my life because of self-love. And more people need to know this, more people need to work on this, more people need to see this, because it's amazing that it trickled into so many different areas of your life. And it's just, I just look at it, everything in my life is a before and after self-love. And I'm just like baffled by that, you know?
Yeah.
So it's really important for me to like share that with people.
Yeah. So for people who are having like a hard time understanding this concept, would you be able to describe what it was like for you personally when you didn't have self-love? Like, what were the messages in your head? And then now thinking about how you self-love, like what's the difference, I guess?
The difference, I would say, because when I think of before, because I say everything is before and after self-love for me, right?
Yeah.
And before self-love, I think of Kemi before self-love at work, like in a work environment, and how like I tolerated being in work environments where I was undervalued, underappreciated, underpaid, didn't speak up for myself, just took a lot of, you know, BS for no reason, and never really spoke up for myself. Versus now, it's like, no, I have a full bachelor's degree. You know how long it took me to get this degree? You're going to respect my opinion. You're going to value my opinion. And if not, I'm going to take it somewhere where it's going to be valued. I'm not going to tolerate being treated less than what I know. I know I bring a lot to the table, and I'm not going to let you make me doubt my own value, you know? And in relationships and friendships, it's just being treated less than and feeling like it was okay at the time. And it was because I didn't know my worth. I didn't know that whatever treatment I was receiving was not good. And it was because I didn't know my worth at the time. And now looking back, I'm like, how could you have tolerated anybody treated you like this? You know? And there's still a lot of healing to do with that, because you have to do a lot of self-forgiveness, you know, because it's not always about forgiving the other people, but about forgiving yourself for what you allowed other people to do to you, you know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You said a lot of good stuff there. One of the things that you said was about how you were who everybody told you that you were.
Yeah.
And you weren't necessarily clear about who you were without all of those messages.
Exactly.
Like, I feel like that is so kind of like meta. Like, how do you bring that down for a person maybe that you're working with in your coaching or in general to say, like, how do we get clear about who it is that we really are?
Mm-hmm. For me, it became clearer when I was on my own. And like, I know not everybody has that luxury of being able to like get away from their surroundings and being alone and just figuring, like, just being on their own. But being able to remove what your parents say and what your friends say and what everybody who's around you say, what do you think of you? And really doing that work, whether it's through journaling, through just talking to yourself, people think it's crazy, but I'm like, no, I have full-blown conversations, just me, myself, and I. We be figuring things out. And just doing that self-reflection with yourself of who am I? Like, who am I the most comfortable being? Who am I the most happiest being? Mm-hmm. Without who you were told you should be or who you're told you are. Because a big thing for me too was like, people would always tell me, you're so sensitive, you're so this, you're so that. But they made it was in a negative way, if that makes sense, you know? Mm-hmm. And in me trying to figure out who I was and now being comfortable saying, yes, I am sensitive. But it makes me be able to be more compassionate towards other people. Yes, I feel a lot, but that's who I am. And if that's a negative trait to you, that's fine, but that's who I am. And not being ashamed of that, you know? Because you have people who will tell you things about yourself, but to shame you about that thing, you know? And just being able to embrace it and say, no, that is me. And if that's not cool with you, that's fine. But that's me. And I'm not going to change that because you don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that makes sense, but I hope it does.
Yes, it does. I love it. So you also talked about that this journey, this self-love journey, is uncomfortable. And yes. You have to kind of be okay with being in that discomfort.
Yes.
Can you describe a time where you felt like, okay, this is really uncomfortable, but I know that this is kind of the right path, or it's going to help me become the person that I want to be?
Right now, I'm going through that right now. As I said before, like when I first started my journey was when I moved to Baltimore for school. And that was my first time being away from family, from friends. I was by myself in a new city. And yes, it was hard at first, but when I look back to like, my progression, like I see that I grew a lot from that experience, right? And after I graduated, I moved back home, and I purposefully decided, you know what, I'm gonna do that again for grad school. I'm gonna pick a new state, I'm gonna go, and then I'm gonna grow and blossom into a better me and figure myself out even more. And it seemed cute and ideal. Like, it's going to be beautiful. I'm going to grow. I'm going to become an amazing person, which is true. That's going to happen. But I didn't plan for the discomfort. I wasn't ready. I think a lot of times we think of growth and we don't think of the before stage, before that growth happens, you know? And now, new state, new apartment, by myself. And again, you have to face yourself. You have to figure out who you are, reconnect with yourself. And that's not always a pretty process. If there's a lot of feelings that you've been suppressing, if there's a lot that you haven't faced, you know? So yeah, I'm definitely like refacing that right now, like being uncomfortable, being okay with just like going to events on campus. I'm not a very like social person. So putting myself out there like that to like socialize, get out of my comfort zone, network, meet people in my field. Cause that's one thing that I didn't do in undergrad that I want to fix here is that I went to school for the books and I didn't really connect and engage with people and did all that. So now this time around, I'm really making it a point to, I know, Kemi, you don't like going out there and talking to strangers, but maybe, just maybe, this is good. So just meeting people who are like-minded. I've been looking at like events on Eventbrite, just going to like self-love events and things like that, because I like self-love. And if I meet other people who like self-love, well, let's talk about it. Let's have an event. But getting myself out of my comfort zone has been challenging, but rewarding. Like that process of doing it is ugh. But once it's over, you're like, oh, that wasn't so bad.
Yeah. And then sometimes you're like, oh, wow, that actually was really fun. And I'm going to have to keep coming back or keep doing it.
Yeah. So at first, it's like, it's like with everything that's uncomfortable, right? The hardest part of it is starting, is putting yourself in that place of like, I'm going to get up, I'm going to get dressed, I'm going to go there. And once you're there, well, you're already there, you realize that it was more in your head, the anticipation of like, this is going to be horrible, it's going to be hard. No, once you push yourself into it, you realize that it was all in your head. Like it's not as terrible as we make it up to be all the time.
So real. I think it's cool too that you said, I feel like I just need to highlight this for listeners, that you found other self-love events that were happening in your city. And I think whenever I was in college, I didn't know that kind of stuff existed. And I just think that your community is out there. You just have to find those people who want to talk about this. And I've actually never met anybody who really cares deeply about this topic until you. So even though in your circle, you know, you might think, oh, wow, a lot of people are doing this work, but the rest of the world doesn't see it yet, you know? Yeah.
And I've even had like friends who have told me blatantly, like, I can't hang out with you because you make me want to address things that I don't want to address. You know, it's funny because I have maybe one friend in my circle who I can genuinely say does the work of self-love. Everybody else, they know of it, but they don't. It's almost like you're forcing me to address things I don't want to deal with. And so it's like, sometimes you have to look for events of people who want to do that work and who are interested and who, you know, want to get uncomfortable. It's a very not cute process, unfortunately.
Wait, okay. So how do we encourage students who are listening to this right now to do it? What's the benefit?
The benefit is you get to know yourself. And I think that there's no better benefit than that. Like you get to really connect with who you are and knowing what you want, what you don't want, what you like, what you don't like. And just really, you get to connect with yourself, you know, and feel like you're your own best friend, truly, you know? And it's just an amazing feeling. And even if you're a student listening and you don't have like friends who are into this work, like one resource that really helped me when I was on campus was reaching out to the counseling center. Like I think a lot of people think that's only for extreme situations, but it's really not. Like I remember my roommate was who encouraged me. She's like, cause she went through a phase of, you know, she went through a depression and it got really bad to the point where she was suicidal and she reached out to them and she told me, listen, even if like whatever you're going through right now is not as extreme as what I went through, go speak to someone. Like it will make a difference just to have someone who understands and who can help you give yourself an insight into like your mind. So I would say even if you don't have like that support system of friends, you have a counseling center on campus. It's included in your tuition. It's free. Go talk to them. And that's a huge resource that's underutilized by students on campuses. So definitely do that. And if you're even remotely thinking of like starting a self-love journey, like just start it. Even if you don't know how to, like you can Google it. There's so many... Like it helps to know, like when you type in, like I was recently Googling, like, is it okay to put a saucepan in the oven? And when you put that into Google and you see that, you know, there are other people going through it, it makes you feel like you're not alone, you know? So like Google things, YouTube things, Pinterest things, like whatever you need to do to help yourself deal with that transition of going to college or that transition of trying to discover yourself, like do what you gotta do.
So I think another thing that a reason to do this work is I think you get clarity. And I also think that comes with all your decisions. So I think about like, I'm okay with the decisions that I make now because I know that I'm okay with who I am. And I am going to like make decisions that I know are going to either like support me or support my family and that I'm okay with and that I like am on board with. And it just, the way that I used to make decisions was not like that. And it was a very stressful time. Mm-hmm. And it's just not that way anymore. And it's amazing.
Yes, it's so amazing. Like, that's another thing too. I'm glad you pointed it out. Like, when we think of self-love, we think of it like just as its own thing, but it's not. Like, it trickles into all the areas of your life. And it's just, once you have that, it's almost like laying the foundation for a house. Like, if that foundation is good, everything else that you do on top of it is going to be more amazing than you could ever imagine, you know?
Yeah. Do you have any stories or an example of how, like, self-love journey that you've been on has trickled down into another aspect of your life?
Yes. Like the example I gave earlier about work, I remember like working in just on like toxic environments, and it wasn't just that the environment was toxic, but it was that whatever happened there, like, I took with me and I made that part of me. Like, it was like, if they said, Kemi, you're incompetent, I took it as such, you know. I didn't argue with it. I let it define me, if that makes sense. Like, it was like, whatever they said, it was like, okay, you're right, I am incompetent, you know, when I know that I bring a lot to the table. And I hated that it took other people reaffirming me to remind me that, no, you're not incompetent. Like, you're awesome at this. Like, don't let that person make you feel any bad about your work. And then fast forward to now, I wish somebody would tell me, Kemi, you're incompetent. I'd be like, oh, really? Well, then bye. Obviously, you're going to appreciate what I bring to the table. So that's fine. Then hire someone else to do the work. You know, now I'm more like, no, no, no. I know what I bring to the table. And granted, I haven't had to, which is funny, I haven't had to face someone else telling me that I was incompetent. And I think it's also came with my mindset change of like trying to please the bosses and make sure that they liked what I did and everything, to now just be like, I don't need you to tell me I'm doing a good job. I know I'm doing a good job. And that, I think that mindset changing showed in my character and how I worked and everything. And it trickles down, you know, and it just changes your experience. And even if it doesn't change your experiences, it changes how you perceive what happens to you, you know, because you're no longer like, I want to say a sponge. Like, you don't, if it's not you, you don't take it in, because it's just not you.
Yeah. I think that really like resonated with me, what you were saying about like the work environment. And when you get that negativity or like something that says, hey, you're not doing this right. Or like,
yeah,
you're not valued. I think I used to feel like, okay, I'm not valued. I take it in. I'm not valuable as a person, or and not even just in my work. Like, it trickled down to me as a person. Mm-hmm. And now if that was to happen to me, I would be like, okay, do I bring value? I would question it first. Maybe I'm not bringing value first off, because sometimes we're not putting work in, and like, that's, maybe you aren't providing value, right?
But
I definitely get the vibe that you definitely are providing value, and I'm definitely providing value, and we are just in being in the world too. But
yeah. And we want to be appreciated for what we're doing. Like, if you know that you're putting in 110%, but you have coworkers or who one take advantage of that, or bosses who don't appreciate it, you shouldn't take it.
Yeah. So I think, when you love yourself, you're able to recognize those things and just say, okay, this is actually more about them than it is about me. It's not that I'm not valuable. It's that they're going through their own shit.
Like,
and it's not a reflection of me. It's more of a reflection of them. And I think that's such a great place to be. So
literally my favorite quote is, know your worth, then add tax. I love, 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 love that quote, because know your worth. If you know your worth, you're good. Yes, are there people that are still going to try to take advantage of you? Absolutely. Are there people who are still going to try to come for you? Absolutely. But because you know your worth, there's nothing anything or anyone can do to you to make you like crumble. And that confidence in knowing that you're worthy is, it just comes from self-love and doing that work of like, no, I am that girl, you know?
Love it. So what can college students do to actually engage in more self-love?
I say definitely check in with yourself, because the work starts with you first. It's okay to take a break. I know college students, like, sometimes we're overwhelmed with work. It's okay to take a break. Like, take care of yourself. That assignment has to be turned in, yes, but not at, like, don't be so, like, hardcore focused on school at the expense of yourself, you know? Make sure you make time for you in the midst of your, like, your schoolwork and everything. And if you're going to school and working at the same time, which a lot of college students do, like, I did that for a long time, like, make sure you take care of you. And it's okay to take days off. Like, it's okay, like, to take time for you and to just take time for you. Because I know that's a big thing that I've noticed with myself and with other college students, was just that, making sure we took time for ourselves. And also, like, reaching out for help, talking to people, using our resources. Like I was talking earlier about the counseling center, like, talk to people if you need to. You're not alone. Just know that you're not alone, and you can talk to someone if you, like, even if you think that what you have to talk about is not that big of a deal, like, still talking to someone can help you out instead of just keeping it in your head and just not dealing with the things that you're going through.
Yeah, and I think that can be really uncomfortable for college students too, to do some of those things. And it's like, take one small step. So maybe it's just journaling on your own, or maybe it's just, like you said, just kind of checking, doing a check-in with yourself, and go for a walk and just be thinking about, okay, how do I incorporate self-love into my life? Where am I at in my self-love journey? You know, because a lot of us are just beginning, and I don't know if you get this sense, but most of the people around us aren't even considering self-love as an important aspect of who they are.
And when you think of self-love, like, we may have, like, our ideas of what it's like, but you can make it your own. Like, it's your journey. Like, whatever self-love means to you, like, don't take my word for it. Don't take anybody, just whatever you need to work on that will make you feel better about yourself, that will make you feel more confident, that will make you feel happier. That's what your journey is about. You get to decide what that journey is for you. And that's why checking in with yourself is so important, because it's all about you. That journey is literally all about you, and you get to decide what it is about and what it incorporates. It's all on you.
Awesome. anything else that you feel like a college student out there needs to know about self-love, or how to engage in self-love more?
I think all college students should know, because I think for most of us, college is a time of self-discovery, because it's the first time that we are either away from parents or just trying to figure out, like, or really think about where we want to go in life, you know? Like, it's that first, it's that first step to that. And I remember one of the assignments for my graduate class was she asked us, like, what do you want this journey to be about? And she called it a mastery journey. And to call it that, and to make us think about, don't just think about your goals for school, but your personal goals through this journey. Like, what do you want that journey to be? And I think a lot more college students should think of their school journey as also, like, not only are you figuring out what you want to do for, like, professionally, but take that time also to figure you out, you know, because that's your introduction to adulthood and your introduction to figuring yourself out. So take really that time to figure you out, as well as figuring out, like, what you want to do, and take your time. Like, it's not a rush, you know. Yes, I have my bachelor's degree and I'm in grad school right now, but I'm still figuring it out, you know, and it's okay to still, like, to still be in that figuring it out stage, you know. It's your journey. You get to decide the pace. You don't have to compare it to anybody else's. Mm-hmm. It's your journey, you know. So take your time, check in with yourself, and make sure that your professional journey, like, through school, you take that time also to make it, like, a personal development journey, like, of figuring yourself out.
I love that. And before we start wrapping up, I would love to know, do you have any personal goals as far as your current, like, program at the end of graduate school? Where do you hope that you will be?
That's so funny, because my professor just asked me this too.
Oh, great professor. So I'm loving this program that you're in.
I know. And my answer, I'm going to give you the same answer I give her. Like, I want to make this journey about not just developing my digital marketing skills for my business, but a journey to becoming a more, a journey to becoming a business mogul. And yes, that may sound like a, what do you call it? Like a far in the future, like a big goal, but I want to develop those skills that you need to become those. Investigate, what are the skills? What have successful business moguls do? What does it take to be a business mogul? Where am I now? And make sure that I am developing the skills that are needed to be that, like consistency, discipline, tenacity, resilience, and just making sure that it's not just about developing those skills in digital marketing, but developing those skills and really becoming that boss babe that I want to be, you know?
I love it. So what books are you reading right now? This is kind of a personal question, but I'm just interested.
It's okay. I am reading, do you know Jen Sincero? She has a book called You're a Badass.
Oh yes, girl. I love that book.
Yes. So I read the first one and now I'm reading the second one. You're a Badass at Making Money. She has a third one out. And it's You're a Badass, I think every day is the third one.
Yep.
So I'm just trying to finish. I'm just trying to finish that sequel, because that first book, when I first read it, when I tell you, it just made me feel all types of chills. And like, and if you are remotely even thinking of starting a self-love journey, like just start that book. Just start that book.
Ooh, that's such a great suggestion. Like that's practical and it's like, yes, it was so good for me too. It was so powerful. Yeah. I was like, oh yeah, I'm a badass. And I've never felt that way before in my life.
So. Right? Like I never thought a book could make me feel that, but she does that. And the way she writes the book. And if you're not a book, like if you don't like reading books, get the audio thing and listen to it while you're driving, while you're on the bus, while you're, I don't know, but either read it or listen to it. It's amazing. It's life-changing. And my life has never been the same since I read the book.
Yeah. Okay. I might be doing a podcast on this episode, so I might be reaching out to you if you want to be on it.
Yes. I read the first one. Now I'm reading the second one. And the third one is, before 2020.
Yeah. That's awesome. Okay. So where can people find you? What are you working on now that you want people to know?
You can find me on Instagram at Self Love Manor. I'm not as active on Facebook and Twitter. I'm really not. So if you really want to connect with me and find me, go to Instagram, Self Love Manor. I also have a site, selflovemanor.com, if you want to check out the blog there and connect with me, like professionally, you want to start your self love journey, reach out to me on the website, selflovemanor.com, or Instagram, Self Love Manor. And Manor is MANOR.
Awesome. Yeah, I will link it in the show notes as well.
Yay. And what am I working on? I am I have a generic self-love program right now. But what I'm working on right now is making sure that I have specific programs that tackle specific problems. So I realized that with just having generic self-love programs, like, I don't know, I want to help people in a more specific way. So if you need help with how to say no more, or how to be more confident in the workplace, how to work on self-forgiveness, because that's something that I'm working on right now. And it's just being able to develop specific programs like that that are going to be able to help you guys. That's what I'm working on right now. So look out for that.
Yeah, that's awesome. I will definitely link all of those in the show notes. And I think the specific one about learning how to say no, I literally had probably 3 conversations just this past week with college students about this, because so challenging to say no, especially with that social aspect, because you're really trying to build those relationships and those connections. Yeah. So that can be really hard, but
so fun. I had to work on that. So I know it's hard.
Yeah. I don't think I learned it until later on.
I'm still learning. It's okay to still be a work in progress, honestly. Yeah.
But learn it now if you can while you're in college. Okay. Just kidding.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciated you coming on and sharing your wisdom with the listeners. So thank you.
Yay. No problem. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you all so much for listening to the College Life Podcast. I hope that you really enjoyed this episode all about self-love. And I just wanted to share a couple things. I think for me, my self-love journey has been, you know, pretty hard, as many of ours are. And I can remember a time when I really pretty much hated myself. I was incredibly insecure, and I cared way, way more about what everybody else thought about me than what I thought about myself. And when I kind of made that shift, it changed the game for me, and it really made me see that I am valuable. I can contribute to this world, and my worth is not caught up in how people view me. My worth is how I view myself. And so really, really learning how to love myself and forgive myself and be patient with myself throughout life. So I want you to know that this is a journey, and definitely just do your best to get started in some capacity. I know for me, actually reading You Are Badass by Jen Sincero was really, really helpful for me. So if that's something you want to do, maybe it's starting there. You know, how can you just love yourself more and be patient with yourself through this thing called life? You know, work hard, but also remember that you are the most important thing in this whole scenario. So I love you all, and I hope that you all start loving yourself, or if you do already love yourself, just to continue to progress on that journey. I also wanted to remind you all that I'm still offering that free life coaching application. It's going to be open until October 11th. Friday, October 11th, I'm going to close it down. So please make sure that you complete it by then. Again, I'm looking for two different types of students. The first type of student is somebody who is looking for clarity or confidence in what you want to do long term. And you know that you want to make a difference in the world, but you're just not quite sure how or how you fit in that. So that's the first type of student. And the second type of student that I'm looking for, you are clear about what you actually want to do and the impact that you want to have, but you're not really sure that you can become that person. You know, you have this big vision for yourself, but you're not really sure how to actually make it happen. Let's definitely work together. So go ahead and fill out that application to be considered for free life coaching with me. I will link it in the show notes. Again, as always, thank you so much for listening. If you know of another college student who could benefit from this episode, please send it to them. I will catch you in the next episode. Have an excellent week.